Okay, so thanks everyone for joining. As Rabbi Tortiner just mentioned, unfortunately, one of the members of our Beit Midrash, Rabbi Alex Hecht, lost his grandmother, I think it was this morning, to COVID-19, unfortunately. And in light of that, we're going to dedicate our learning in the shiur this morning to her, for her Aliyat Neshama. Her name is Alea Bat Sharna. So keep her in mind, and we hope that Alex and his family are able to deal with this situation as best as they can, and hopefully she can continue to be a Melitza Yosher for them. Okay, so... It's been, this is the third part of a 3-week discussion for this first part of this year on prospective buyers in Halacha. So do we do a very brief review? Does everyone have the source sheet also? I'm going to assume people do. Otherwise, please let me know if you don't. So for a brief review, what we've been discussing is essentially the question of when you are in the decision process of purchasing an item, and if something happens to the item during that time period, what is the halacha? What is your liability? What is your status toward that item? And to briefly review, we essentially saw 3 different gemaros, all dealing with this topic, and the 3 gemaros deal with essentially 2 different cases. One case is where you're buying, your intention is to buy the item for yourself, and you are simply deciding whether or not you actually want it. That is the case in the Gemara in Bava Basra we discussed. And that is the also quoted in Nedarim. The other case is a case where you are potentially buying an item, but not for your own use. You are not buying it for yourself. Rather, you are buying it to sell it to someone else or to gift it to your in-laws. Or to your wife as a show of your dedication and your excitement upon the new marriage. And in that case, that is the case in the Gemara discussed in Bava Metzia in our Perek, and also discussed in Nedarim. We noted over the last 2 weeks, we discussed how there are different conditions discussed in each Gemara. In the Gemara in Bava Basra, the Gemara says that you are liable for own sin in the case of deciding whether or not you want to buy the item for yourself. And the stipulation is that the item that you are buying has a set price. If it has a set price, that is when you are liable. And the Gemara's whole discussion there is in the context of buying and selling. In contrast, the Gemara in Nedarim stipulates that you are only liable for what happens to the item if it is a zvina harifa, literally translated as a sharp merchandise, and which means that it's attractive, something that people want to buy, something that the mocher is not desperately trying to get rid of. And that's the stipulation. And so the question was how to deal with all of these sources. If you look in the table at the top of the source sheet, it should be, I tried to summarize briefly the different approaches we saw in the Rishonim. Namely, we have some Rishonim who say that you are a Shoel. It really ends up going by Gemara. The Rishonim who comments on the Gemara in Adarim, which seems to be focusing on the Hana aspect of it, they indicate that indeed the reason you are obligated or liable for what happened to the object is because you are a Shoel. In the process of deciding whether to buy this item, you are borrowing the item. Someone who borrows is liable for anything that happens to the item in their possession. And that's why you're liable. And that's the Rush and the Ron Nedarim. I guess on the other side of the spectrum, we discuss Rishonim who say that you are only a lokeach. You are a buyer. Even though you have not definitively decided whether or not you want to buy the item, we treat you as if you have bought that item. And we've discussed that there are different ways of approaching the lokeach option. One is that you are a lokeach al tanai. You essentially have bought the item on the condition that you actually end up wanting that particular item. And that's one approach. A more ambitious approach is even what we saw last week, the Ran and Avodah Zarah, Pasi Rashi, and Bava Metzia in our parak, that we treat you as a lokeach gamor because it's such an attractive merchandise potentially, And we assume that you have bought the item already. And the question is whether or not you want to sell it back to the mocher. And then in the sort of the middle approach, which is in different ways, the Rashbam says you're both a shoel and a lokeach. You have the Ritva, who says that depending upon the circumstances, if you, it is just a set price, then you are a lokeach, you are a buyer. If it is a case of an attractive merchandise, then you are benefiting in such a way that you are a borrower. And we have the Evan Ezra and the Rambam, who distinguishes between the two different cases. When you are buying it for yourself, then we treat you as a lokeach. And in the case where you're buying it to sell it, then he actually says you are, according to the Evan Ezra at least, that you are a sarsor, more like, sort of like a middleman, has its own halachos. And so it really depends on why you're buying it. That's sort of a summary of what we've done until now. So today I just wanted to explore some differences, practical differences between these different approaches. We discussed some last week. I'd also like to just explore some practical cases. So I'd like to start off, actually, if you look at source number one. I just found this. Bar Ilan has a number of different periodicals that you can access on Bar Ilan, and this was one of them. It's called from a periodical called Sridim Yad, and it's written in by Tzvi Yehuda Ben Yaakov, and the case is as follows. So our case is with a Jew who goes into a store which is selling lulavim on, let's say, Erev Sukkot. If you've ever been to the Shuk in Israel, they have all sorts of booths where people sell lulavim, and this is one of them. Badak lulav mehudar b'miyuchad v'yakar. He took a very nice, expensive lulav. L'achar shlo ishtava im amocher b'machir. And then he sort of, you know, he was bargaining with the seller. They couldn't agree on a good price for it. Hinicho b'chazara al ha-shulchan shebechanot. He put it back on the table in the front of the store. When he put it down at the table, he put it down in such a way that the head of the lulav was protruding, sticking out from the table, right? Not a wise thing to do. Everyone knows that if you have a lulav, you have to be very careful about how you put it away, because if you're not, inevitably something will happen, and that's what happens. In a matter of moments, someone was passing by the register, and they walked by the lulav, and they knocked it over, and it clipped the top of the lulav, rendering it invalid. After the holiday, the seller claimed the value of the beautiful lulav from the buyer. And the question he deals with in this tshuva is, should the seller, or the buyer rather, this person who ended up not buying the lulav, should he be liable or should he not? So I'd like to get back to what he says at the end of this tshuva, but what any thoughts before we see some of our practical cases? Should this person be liable or not, and what factors are relevant?
I think it's more like a hazard situation than a...
What do you say?
Computer's echoing, so... bugging me out. But it's more like a hezek type of thing than a lokeach type of thing.
Okay, so you're saying it's hezek. He damaged the lulav. I think I think this would be more like pshia. That's what it would seem to me, no? Meaning he didn't take the lulav and, like, smash it into the ground, right? That would be, like, direct... mazik be a dime. What he did was he put it down on the table. That didn't damage it. Someone else walked by and he damaged it. Now maybe the second person should be liable for mazik. And that would get into the question of whether or not damages that are done totally accidentally, you're liable for those, which we might get into in a few weeks from now. But I think that the discussion should be whether he was negligent by putting the item on the counter, right? So negligence, that's an interesting question. Okay. Any other thoughts?
Wouldn't you have to, like, have ownership of it somehow for that to be, like, relevant?
Okay, so that's part of our question, right? So one question to discuss is, did he own the item at this point? So I'll just mention a few factors. Very good, Moishi. First of all, welcome, Moishi. Thank you for joining us. So I'll mention a few factors. Number one, what is the nature of a lulav? We mentioned that a lulav, that the type of merchandise we're talking about It has to be Zvina Harifa, an attractive buy. Would this lulav be an attractive buy? And does it depend upon the mocher's perspective or the lokeach's perspective? The fact that they couldn't agree on a price, they were still arguing about the price of this lulav, how does that factor into the equation? The fact that he was on the way, put it on his way to return the lulav, he was no longer trying to buy it. He was giving it back. That's another factor.
Not only was he on his way, he
actually tried to put it back. Right. Exactly.
Put it down.
Yeah. This is a good point. So all these are important factors. So let's take a look at some of these practical cases, and maybe we'll return back to where Tzvi Yehuda ben Yaakov says. You look at source number 2 and 3. We've seen these sources already. This is the Shulchan Aruch's Psak Halacha in regard to these two cases you described. So in source number 2, he says as follows: a person who sends utensils takes utensils from the house of a craftsman to send them to his in-laws. He says, if they, my in-laws, buy them from me, I'll pay you for their value. And if not, I will give you a little bit of money. And then there is an ones. Something happens to these items on his way toward his in-laws. He's liable. And if on his way back, something happens, an ones happens, He is exempt. Aval im nignivu avdu chayiv. But if they're stolen on the way back, then he's chayiv. So this is actually just really directly quoting from the Gemara. It's not really that significant, given that this is really a direct quote from what we've seen. Essentially, in the case where you're buying to give it to your in-laws, then on the way there, you are considered either lokeach or shoel. The bottom line is you're chayiv and onsin. On the way back, you are a shomer sachar. The significant part about this is that he doesn't mention either that it needs to be damav tzuvim, either that the item needs to have a set price, or that it need, what type of how attractive the or how many people are trying to buy such an item. He doesn't mention zina harifa either. In source 3, however, he mentions both, and this is the case which is really most relevant to us. The case of someone who is deciding whether or not to buy an item for themselves. Says the Shulchan Aruch in source 3, Hanota klimi beitza mena manat levakro. A person that buys a utensil or takes utensil from the house of a craftsman in order to investigate it, imhaya damav tzuvim, if it has a set price, benen aspi yado chayiv. Shehoa b'damav tzuvim me'eitshag biya naseh b'rishuto. Since it has a set price, from the moment you take it up, it is in your jurisdiction. And the seller can retract, therefore you are liable for whatever happens. That's assuming that you pick it up with the intention of acquiring all of it. And it has to be something that is beloved, desirable to the buyer. If the mocher does not like it, he is disgusted by it, and he is trying very hard to sell it, then it is in the mocher's jurisdiction, until the lokeach picks it up after setting a specific price with the mocher, and does another kinyan on it. So that's where we'll stop for now. So he has the two. In the case of buying an item for yourself, the Shulchan Aruch does stipulate that you need both Zvina Harifa and Damav Ktsuvim. So one thing we discussed last week was, and this is one question to ask, whether or not we can apply these halachos in any given situation, is what is considered a set price? We saw last week, some argue that set price means a market rate, generally, in the marketplace, or what would people generally pay for such an item, whereas some Rishonim argue that no, you need a specific price agreement with the seller. That might be a price tag on the item. It might be that he said anyone who buys this type of item pays such and such an amount, but it needs to be an agreement with the mocher. Here the Shulchan Aruch sounds like the former option if there is a Zvina Harifa. So I'd like to explore a bunch of other differences between these approaches. Number one, look at source 4, is what happens, and this is really relevant to our case, what is the status of someone who decides not to buy the item, and on the way back to returning it, something happens? What is the status of the buyer in that time span? So the Aruch HaShulchan here, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Aruch HaShulchan gives us three different opinions. The post Shulchan Aruch says there are three different opinions. Some say on your way back to the counter, you are a Shomer Chinam, that's the Yad Ramah. You are like a non-paid watchman. You'll only be liable for Pshia. Some say that you are a Shomer Sachar. You are like a paid watchman. And you will be liable for Gneva Va'aveda. And finally, the Rashbam Bava Basra says you are like a Shoel. You are Chayev for everything on your way back to the item. So how should we view this? What should be the status? Now, actually, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Yaakov suggests something that's not in the Shulchan Aruch at all, but I think his logic is compelling. I just don't think that it seems we fully follow it. He says as follows. If your only status toward the item is buyer, meaning your only source of liability is that we are assuming you have already bought the object, it follows that when you have decided not to buy the object, then you no longer have any liability. If we were saying you are not a shomer, you are not a guardian of this item, you didn't accept that upon yourself, your only liability is that of a lokeach. Once you decide you are not buying it, then you have no liability. He argues, actually, that you shouldn't be liable for anything. On the flip side, if we are saying that you are a shoel, or you were a shoel, at least when you were deciding whether or not to buy this item, you could argue that that shmira is a spectrum. Shoel is the most liable. But we have cases in our Gemara even where after being a Shoel, if you are no longer using the item or you want to return it, you are downgraded to Shomer Sachar or the like. So it's very possible that if you were originally a Shoel, when you decide to return it, you are no longer a Shoel, but you still may have some liability. You also can factor, the other question to factor in is, when you accept the responsibility of being a Shoel, is it upon you to decide that you no longer want that responsibility? And maybe what the Rashbam is saying is that since you already accepted the liability of a Shoel, you don't have the right to say, I no longer want to be a Shoel, unless you actually return him the item. So again, so first question is, what is the status of the person when they decide they no longer want the item? Nafkamina number two, should the seller be able to retract? So, and this is, and also should the seller be able to be makdish the item? We discussed, even in the past, that if you think that the person who is holding the item but has not yet decided whether they want to buy it has already some sort of kinyan on that item, either a quasi-kinyan like we discussed or a full-fledged kinyan, so then it makes sense that the mocher no longer can retract, and that's how we paskin. Once you, as a buyer, can decide whether or not you want it, but the seller no longer can decide because we view you as a buyer. However, if you are simply borrowing the item in the meanwhile, then there is no reason that the seller should not be able to say, okay, I no longer want to sell it to you. You can stop someone from borrowing an item given that there's no like set time for that borrowing period and you're not even using the item. So that would be a second nafkamina. A third nafkamina and is that in source number six, and maybe we'll read this one inside, and that is the of the sma. And the question is, when you pick up the item, do you have to have any intention of doing any kinyan on that item? The Shulchan Aruch says that in order to hold the lokeach liable, you need to have be magbia amanas liknos. You need to pick it up with the intention of acquiring it. And the sma questions this in source number six. Says the sma, he has to lift it in order to acquire it. For the price that is set for the item, if he wants it. That's why the mocher can't retract. He says, I picked it up in order to buy it. If I decided I liked it, I didn't like it. He says the Tosos and the Rush disagree with the Rambam They say you don't need to have intention to pick it up, or to acquire it rather, when you lift the item. Even if you are just looking at it and you didn't think about that, you are liable. And he actually questions why the Shulchan Aruch just says explicitly that you need to have this intention to acquire it, and he ignores the Tosos and the Rush. So should you need this intention? Certainly, if you are simply a Shoel, and that's what creates liability, there is no need to have intention to buy the item. We're not saying you are buying the item. We're saying that you're borrowing the item. So if you take the Shoel perspective, this certainly shouldn't be necessary. I would argue that even if you take a more limited Lokeach perspective, you're not a full-fledged Lokeach, you're a Lokeach al Tanai, or even what I argued for the Rini Gush last week, you're browsing, and a browsing is a quasi-kinyon, because when you have it in your shopping cart, there is some connection to that item, even though you haven't bought it. Maybe then you wouldn't need a full-fledged kinyon, or not at least intention to buy it fully. However, if you're going to go with the Lokeach Gamor perspective, you have bought it, and then you just have the right to return it or resell it to the Mocher, then this makes a lot more sense. So that's in terms of that question. If you look at number 7, another important question is it considered yours fully in the meanwhile? So the Chasam Sofer in source number 7 asks the following question. Essentially, someone wanted to get out of the Chiyuv Bechor. So they had a cow that was giving birth to the first offspring, and they didn't want to have to deal with Bechor. So what ends up happening is the wife of this person ends up potentially selling it to a non-Jew, and the non-Jew is testing out the animal in the meanwhile to decide whether they want to buy this animal. And while that happens, lo and behold, the animal gives birth. And the question is, while someone is testing out whether or not they want to buy your item, who is considered the owner of the item? And this could also have nafka minas, for instance, for mechiras chametz, right? If you have chametz, and someone is deciding whether or not they want to buy your chametz, and they have not yet decided whether they want to buy it before Pesach, and it's in their jurisdiction, is that your responsibility or not? Again, if you went with the Lokeach perspective, certainly the Lokeach, the Gamor perspective, you can argue that no, since it is theirs until they decide they don't want it. They are a complete Lokeach. However, if you take the Shoel perspective, certainly it is your responsibility, because you didn't sell it to them. They are simply borrowing it. If you lend someone an object, it's still yours. They're just using it. So that could have a slew of different nakaminas there. The Chasam Sofer himself suggests that you shouldn't rely on this, and he's not sure. And he says better to buy it back or find another way of dealing with the Bechor issue. But that is another difference in these approaches. And finally, the question on the fifth nakamin, which could be a bunch of different ones, is, should you be susceptible to Beturei Shmira? There are certain cases where a shomer on an item is not liable. So for instance, Shmira Bevilim. The halacha is that if the owner is working for the shomer at the time the Shmira is accepted, then the shomer is not liable. So the Yad Ramah and the Machane Ephraim both suggest that if your chiyuv is mitam shoel, if the borrower had the owner of this object, the seller, work for him in some capacity, watch one of his items or something of that nature, before he picks up this item, then he would be exempt from chiyuv shmira because of shmira bevilim. Similarly, in source number 10, I'll just say it outside, and this is something that Rav Tzvi Yehuda ben Yaakov quotes. There is an interesting halacha in regard to borrowing chetzei mitzvah. We generally assume mitzvah slav lehanos nitnu. The benefit that you get of fulfilling a mitzvah with an item isn't halachically considered benefit. And the Ktos HaChoshen says, since the status of a shoel, a borrower, is contingent upon the shoel getting all of the benefit, kol hana'a shelo, so if you borrow a mitzvah item, a sefer Torah, or something of that nature, you are not a shoel. because the benefit you get from borrowing the Sefer Torah isn't halachically considered benefit. And therefore, actually, your Tzvi Yehuda Ben Yaakov suggests if what you're doing is buying a lulav is a mitzvah object, we can't consider you a shoel because the benefit you get from the lulav isn't considered hana'ah, and therefore we cannot invoke kol hana'ah shalom. So this would not be applicable to mitzvah items. Nevertheless, again, certainly if you are a lokeach, this shouldn't really make too much of a difference. Whether or not you're buying a mitzvah object, non-mitzvah object, you're still buying it. And therefore, these would not apply. So that's a bunch of different practical differences between these approaches. So just to go through a few practical tshuvot, and then to get back to your Tzvi Yehuda Ben Yaakov. So the Shut Imre Yosher, I brought you the first two tshuvot, relate to sort of the point Jeffrey made a few weeks ago, which is, should we distinguish between items? Maybe there's a difference between going into a supermarket and buying, you know, a typical household item where everything is sort of manufactured in bulk and similar versus buying a watch or you know, a specialty type of item. So if you look in the Imre Yosher and source number 11, he goes through different issues. He discusses the case of someone who wants to buy a watch. Someone wanted to buy a watch from his friend, and the seller stipulates a price, and Lokea says, I'd like to decide tomorrow, tonight, whether I'd like to bring it. I'll bring it home, I'll look it over, and then I'll decide tomorrow. And then he says, you know what, I want this watch, and the mocher says, you know what, I thought about it, it's a really nice watch, I don't want to sell it anymore. Question is, so he says, we just learned that in this case where you're making in the decision process, lokea can be choser, mocher cannot. So maybe you can't, the mocher cannot be choser from selling his watch. It has to be that it's a desirable buy. The gamag bi'enu amenaslik noso. You have to pick it up with the intention of buying it. Did these things happen here? Hine mitam chefetz chaviv. If in terms of an attractive buy, nira de'hacha mistam havi chefetz chaviv. He says it must be an attractive buy. Ki mora shor gel zahav einaz vina derami alape. It's a golden watch. Golden watches. Those are not the types of things that people are trying to get rid of. It's a nice golden watch. So interesting point. Meaning maybe we can really look. A bottle of milk that you drop on the floor in the supermarket? I don't know. Zvina Harifa? Not sure. But a golden watch? Maybe that is Zvina Harifa.
Understanding the definition.
What?
Are we going to say, is it because it's valuable? Or is he just saying that at that time, a golden watch was just not something that people were selling a lot of?
Well, it's interesting. He actually says it's certainly not Zvina Derama Alape, which is interesting. The question would be, which is another thing to focus on, which I wanted to get back to, is is the point that it needs to be something the lokeach really wants, or is the point that the mocher really could care less about whether the lokeach buys it or not because it's so valuable? Like, if you don't buy it, someone else will.
But the value shouldn't really have a role in that.
What? It's important to figure that out.
The actual value, meaning I can have $1 million object that, you know, could very.
We lost Ezra.
There will be a Zvina Derama. I'm just not sure as to this, what criteria he's working with.
I hear. But I just like it because he goes through all the issues. I hear you. But I think his point is that, look, golden watches, those are like sort of commodity items. People like those. But I hear your point. He says, and you don't need Zvina Harifa if there's a set price. I don't know. That's questionable. Maybe you need to explicitly say that you're picking it up in order to potentially buy it. It's not enough to just pick it up and think that. You need to say so. So he goes back and forth about whether or not that would be a potential issue in terms of exempting you. So that's one perspective. It seems he's a bit more hesitant to actually apply this practically. On the other end, you look in source number 12, Mishnah Alachos. He actually, it's very straightforward. He talks about a case where someone wanted to buy something from the shuk, and then decided that, and then it breaks before he can return it. He suggests just applying this halacha that if there's a set price, which is normally the halacha, then you're liable. He assumes that, you know, it's probably not the type of thing that the mocher wants to get rid of. And, you know, so even the Mishnah Lachos is actually willing to apply this even in a normal case of just buying something from the store. So that would be more applicable. I want to focus on number 13, and we'll mention 14 briefly, and then we'll get back to Rav Yehuda ben Yaakov. So if you look at the case number 13, it's similar to the one we discussed, but with a slight difference. Nosei Adyun. This is just a psak din from the basin of Yerushalayim. And I think the Dayanim are of Avram Dov Levine and Rav Yehoshua Weiss. The case is as follows. Nosei Adyun, Reuven Sofer Stam. Reuven was a sofer. Katav Megidah Gedei L'mokra. He wrote a Megillah in order to sell it. Shimon hits Anyin Balik Nosa. Shimon was interested in buying it. He says, okay, I want to buy it, but I want to ask my rabbi if it's a kosher Megillah. Hareya Megillah, I'm sorry. Hiskin Ruve, Venosanas Megillah, Shimon Kadeshi, Isna Ladikas Arav. He says, okay, no problem. Of course it happened. Shimon Natal to Megillah, Master Larab, Vitel, Tzarech Ladika. He brings it to the Rav. Harav Amarlo, Hanacho Tzakan, Kishayil is Manadokotai. He's a busy rabbi. He says, okay, put it here. I'll take a look when I get a chance. Bain Tayim Nemaha Megillah Vitel Sarav. Megillah gets lost somewhere in, you know, the pile of questions and answers in Megillah. That Megillah gets lost. The rabbi can't find it. And the question, Reuven, Tovei Mishnah Mea Megillah. Reuven wants the Megillah back. Okay, you owe me the Megillah. And then Mikhevan Shenot Lak Deilak Nota. It's because he took it in order to buy it. Shimon Meshish Mikhevan Shetolat Haskamatolak Nosa Bivdika Harav Varav Ola Badakrata. Since he said, well, I'm relying, I said I only buy it if after the Rav checks it, and he was still checking it. So lo nasel el lokeach eino chayv v'shamla. He says, I'm not a lokeach. I shouldn't have to pay. Gam harav toench eino chayv mishum shlo kibel alei achiyu v'shmira. And the Rav says, I'm also not liable, even though I lost it, absentmindedly, because I never said I'm going to be a shomer. I just said, put it down, and I'll get it. And when I get a chance, I'll look at the item. So any thoughts quickly before we look at this answer here? Who should be, should this buyer be liable? Should he not be liable? And what about the rabbi? Should the rabbi be liable for not taking care of this Megillah? Or is he right? He says, I never said I was going to watch it. I just said, okay, put it down. And when I get a chance, I'll look at it. What do we think? What might we be lacking here?
We're lacking a verbal approval, meaning for him to say, yes, I'll do it. But it seems to be understood from the back and forth that he's agreeing to it. Meaning him saying, leave it here.
Okay, so that's the Rav point we'll get to. The point with the Rav will, the rabbi will get to. So the question he says is, well, it depends. Did they set a price or not? Did they, you know, you go to buy a Megillah, you know, sometimes that's sort of a verbal questioning of the price. So he says, Lafize benido didan imhayu damag suvin, mistaber came lafi perusha shal rashba hanal, shim katsas pa machas lachol mishiyava likah menukli, kazeh, If the sofer says this type of Megillah costs such and such, that is considered a set price. And Cain is chayav beontin o midin lakeach o dehava kishoa kozman shelo gila daito she'eno rotz liknoso. As long as he said he no longer wants it, it's not that he didn't buy it until the Rav checks it. No, it's that he bought it unless he says I no longer want to buy it, and therefore he is liable. Assuming that there was a set price, assuming he didn't say, I don't want it anymore. And then if he does say he didn't want it anymore, so then that depends upon the argument in the Shulchan Aruch. Is he a Shomer Sachar or a Shomer Chinam? And is it negligence or onsin or Geneva Vaveda to leave it in the house of the rabbi and have him check it? I guess the question is how much you trust your rabbi to be responsible and hold on to your Megillah. Maybe it depends on the rabbi. Don't leave your Megillah with me. That would be Pshia. I'll tell you that much. And I don't know how to check Megillahs. But anyway, In terms of the rabbi, interesting, that actually relates to another sugya, the last time it was my turn to give shir, which is, what does it take to accept shmira responsibility? What do you need to say as a shomer? Do you need a kinyan? Do you not need a kinyan? If you do need a kinyan, that certainly doesn't exist in this case. The rabbi didn't pick up the item and say, okay, I'm a shomer. It was just left there. And then he actually says, we say that hanach kan, if since the rabbi said, leave it here, that does not constitute a kinyan unless you actually pick it up. So we can't even hold the rabbi liable since he didn't do a kinyan. And he didn't say, leave it in front of me. He just said, hanach kan, leave it here. And therefore, the rabbi is also not liable. I'll just go back to, I'm already taking a bit more time than I wanted to, just get back to the actual question. Look at source number 14. He asks another interesting question, just very briefly. What should the halacha be if you take a number of items? You didn't take one new lulav, you took five. Because you wanted to see which one you wanted. Should halacha be that you are liable for all five, liable for one of them, liable for none of them? So the Pesach Tshuva says maybe this sort of depends on this this question. If you are a shoel, you can be borrowing all of them. Maybe you're borrowing all five. If you're a lokeach, can we really say that you bought all of them if you're not even sure which one you wanted? Can we say that you're picking up all of them with the intention of buying all of them? You don't even know which one. You're not going to buy all of them. You're only going to buy one of them. He actually says maybe you should be liable for one. So back in terms of the original question, so Rav Yehuda ben Yaakov, as I said, goes through the different shitos here. He argues that if you are indeed a shoel, then you should be potentially chayav even on your way back to return it. But as a lokeach, he says you shouldn't be liable at all because you're no longer a lokeach. Again, I'm not sure what he does with this Shulchan Aruch. Maybe, as Ezra would say, he already put it down. It's not that you're not just on the way to returning it. It's already on the counter. And he also suggests that maybe since it's a lulav, you shouldn't be liable. He's also not sure, just one more factor I'll mention, which he says, if the mocher needs to sell all of his items, then can you really say it's vina harifa? Meaning, if the case is you only have one of this type of item that you need to sell, it's unique, and people will buy this thing, this guitar, let's say. And if you don't buy it, someone else will. Well, that's one question. But someone who's selling in bulk a lot of different types of lulavim, and he knows that there will be leftover lulavim at the end of this, which will be a lot less valuable. So he wants you to buy this one specifically because he needs as many buyers as possible. So for many reasons, actually, Rav Yehuda ben Yaakov says we shouldn't apply this halacha in this case. So I'm going to wrap up here, just so we've seen different perspectives on a potential buyer, shoel, lokeach, somewhere in the middle, both or neither. We mentioned many different ramifications, and practically it seems that a lot does have to happen, according to many of the modern postgame, to actually apply this. If this ever happens, ask your local Orthodox rabbi and see what they say. So, shoel, and I turn the floor over to Abba Torchina.